God. Praise God. 1 Kings, if you have your Bibles. Amen. Chapter 19. Amen. As one man said in the King James Version. Yeah. And he said, all others, pass them in the garbage can on your way out.
Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter 19. Debating on how much to read here. You know the story. And Ahab told Jezebel, I wonder if we call her Jez.
Oh, yeah.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Man, now this takes up just after the great showdown on Mount Carmel. If you wanted to read the previous few verses of the last chapter, we would find how that Jezebel and Ahab had sent out those 450 prophets of Baal, and they thought they were going to outdo the prophets, the prophet of God. And we find out that, of course, God won out. Amen.
Right.
And not only did he win out, amen, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Elijah slew those false prophets. Amen.
Yes, he did.
Glory to God. Now, I know we live in a different time. We live in a complete different generation. But if false prophets would be dealt with today, it wouldn't be so much of it going around.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Great God in heaven. There's a lot of false prophets in today's time.
Amen.
There's a lot of false prophets in today's church. Amen. Because there ain't a whole lot of Elijahs around.
You're right.
Yeah. Glory to God. That's another message that I ain't got time to get into. Amen.
Yes.
Verse 2. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not my life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Now, I don't really know. I mean, she's saying these words, but I feel like it's a lot of bluff. I really do. Mm-hmm. You know, the devil, he bluffs a lot. He speaks a lot. I feel, you know, and I could be wrong on this, but I feel like, yeah. I feel like she was saying a big thing, but I don't know if Jezebel was prepared to kill the man of God. She could have been. I feel like she was bluffing. She wanted him out of town.
Yeah.
Amen. I feel like she was just talking big and wanted it, but she might have. Amen. I believe she hated him. Amen. I believe this wicked Jezebel hated the man of God, so she very well had the capabilities of killing him. But it sounds and feels to me like she was just saying, about this time tomorrow, I'm going to kill this man if he don't get. I think she was trying to get him out of her hair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and he left his servant there. Man, oh man, hallelujah. Oh, that's a bad day when the prophet of God's running from Jez, amen, running from the wicked one. He's running from Jezebel here, and he leaves his servant, that prophet that he needed, amen, that servant that was there to help the prophet do the will of God and do what God had called him. He's leaving his work.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and he sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. He asked God, he said, God, I think I'd be better off dead. Now, I don't want you to raise your hands, but I don't think, have anybody here ever said that?
Come on.
Some of us have said that.
Yeah.
Some of us have said, Lord, I think I ain't no good no more. I ain't accomplishing the work that you've called me to do. It seems like I'm just spinning my tires going, well, I think I'd just be better off dead. Now, let me say this before I move on. There is times and seasons in life when we might say such a thing, but you better not stay there.
Right.
You better not stay there. Amen. Can you imagine this? Elijah just called down fire from up on Mount Carmel, Brother Kevin. Mm-hmm. He just called down fire, and God moved in a miraculous ways, and it appears as though in hours he was sitting under the juniper tree saying, God, my life ain't no good. Why don't you just go ahead and take me?
My Lord.
Wow.
Oh, God.
Wow. Isn't that how the devil works?
Yep.
Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost, and I'm just reading my text.
Come on.
For himself that he might die, and he said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life. For I am not better than my fathers. Amen. And he lay and he slept under a juniper tree. And behold, then the angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and he drank and he laid down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose, and he did eat, and he drank, and he went in strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Thank you for standing here today for the reading of the Word of God. And if God would help me for just a few moments, I'd like to preach a little bit about the pouting prophet. Amen. The pouting prophet. Amen. It's only a short distance from the pinnacle of success to the slough of despond. Amen.
Right.
It's just a short distance from being on the top to being on the bottom. Amen. I've said many times, and if you like me, or like me as a person, or like me as a preacher, I thank God for that. I don't take that lightly. I seriously don't want you to think I take that lightly. I want folks to like me in one sense. It means a lot less to me than it used to mean to me when I was a far younger preacher. Amen. When I was a lot younger preacher, you know, I guess it just upset me if I thought folks didn't like me. But the older I get, the more I realize everybody ain't going to like you, and everybody ain't going to like your preaching. Everybody ain't going to like what you have to say. And
right.
it just ain't going to make everybody happy. Amen.
Right.
I have had people tell me before, man, you're my favorite preacher. Wow, what preaching. And really seemed like they really enjoyed it. And just a service or two later, they was my worst enemy.
Yeah.
I've had it happen. I really have. Amen. What a change in just a few hours. Amen. The scriptures declare Elijah was a man of like passions. Amen. James chapter number 5, verse number 17 lets us know that Elijah was a man just like you and I are a man. Hallelujah. Why does he tell us that, Brother George? I feel like, amen, the Holy Ghost behind the writing here of the scripture was wanting us to know that Elijah was on the top. Elijah was calling down fire from Mount Carmel. He prayed a 53-word prayer and heaven fell. Amen. That was that prophet of Elijah. God moved upon Elijah's life. But Elijah was a man of like passion. Elijah was a man just like you and I. In just a few hours, he came from the top of Mount Carmel to the bottom of the wilderness of Beersheba. And he was all alone, and he was by himself, and he was crying, God, why don't you take my life. Amen. It's not even worth living anymore. Oh, God. Amen. He's letting us know, amen, that life sometimes is like that. Amen. That life has its highs and life has its lows. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I come to tell you today, if you're going to serve God, you're going to suffer some persecution. Amen. You're going to go through some things. Hallelujah. Particularly, we can find consolation, amen, in observing God's method of dealing with Elijah in that critical period when he prayed that he might die. Hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you glad? I mentioned this the other day when we've been dealing with prayer. Aren't you glad that God doesn't always grant us every request that we ask of him? Amen. Here Elijah was. Out of the will of God. He should have never left his servant behind. God gave him a servant. Amen. Amen. To help him and to stand with him and to be with him. Amen. And to help him in the work of God. And he left that servant behind, and he goes and he runs further into the wilderness there, and he gets under a juniper tree and he cries, God, why don't you just take my life? He's begging God, Lord, just kill me and take me. My work is over and my work is done. Amen. Aren't you glad God didn't grant that request? Aren't you glad that God didn't answer that prayer? Thank God. Aren't you glad that God knows which prayers to answer and which prayers not to answer? Hallelujah. Particularly, we can find, amen, God here, dealing with the prophet. Amen. Oh, yes, we learn how to help our friends and other laborers in the work of the Lord, how God dealt with Elijah. Amen. Don't worry, I ain't going to preach very long, but I do feel like I got something to tell you. Amen. Number one, God did not answer Elijah's prayer. It was fortunate for Elijah, and it was fortunate for us that God did not answer these prayers of Elijah. In his mercy, God knows what's best. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. Aren't you glad that God knows what's best? He did not take Elijah's life, but he recognized that Elijah was in a bad place. Amen. Elijah was worn out physically. Elijah had just ran, some say, amen, as high as they're over 17 miles. Amen. Running for his life. He had ran for a long time. He was physically tired. Amen. Anybody in here ever been so physically tired and your mind was so tired you couldn't even think straight? I've been there. Amen. I've been there when I've been up hours on end, up all night long, couldn't sleep. Amen. And it seems like you're going to go crazy. And let me tell you something. When you physically, then the spiritual man begins to wear down. And that's where Elijah was. He had run 17 miles running from old Jezebel. Amen. Running from this wicked woman. Amen. Trying to find a place. Amen. To get away from her so he doesn't die. Amen. His body's all wore out. He finds himself under a juniper tree. He leaves his servant that God had given him. Amen. He's running from God. And he's running from the work of God. And he's all worn out. And he gets under a juniper tree. And he says, God, will you just take my life?
Yes, Lord.
God said, I understand Elijah's in a bad place. Aren't you glad that God understands? Aren't you glad that God knows just exactly where you are? Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. So how does God deal with this? He sent an angel. Amen. Elijah, amen, done away with his servant. Elijah said, servant, you stay here. I'm leaving. Amen. I'm running away from what God's called me to do. He left his servant behind. That's very significant. Amen. But guess what? Even though Elijah left his servant, God sent an angel. Hallelujah. Amen. A beautiful picture unfolds. Amen. When the scripture says, behold, an angel of the Lord touched Elijah. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so glad I come to tell you here today, when you get in such a place where you're all worn out, and your spirit's worn out, and your physical body's worn out, God knows how to send an angel. God knows how to send reinforcements. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. You're looking at me, and I'm trying my best here to tell you, hey, I know what it's like to be touched by an angel. I know what it's like to say, God, I can't make it another minute. I can't make it another moment. Is there any way you can touch me? Is there any way you can help me? And God sent an angel to touch me. Amen.
Yes, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, God.
The angel.
Lord.
Bless
you, Lord.
Jesus.
Bless you, Lord.
The angel.
Touch you, Jesus.
I understand why you get hot, sir.
Touch you, Jesus.
Getting sick. The angel was a heavenly messenger representing God.
Right.
Woo. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. I know I've told you this in the past, but I remember when my Uncle Larry was all worn out, his mom and dad had died. I think, if I remember right, I need to ask him some of these details because I tell him a lot. I think his parents, Brother Tommy, had both died within 11 months apart. His mom and dad both came down with cancer, and they both died early. I think it was like in the early 60s, and Larry was probably in his 40s. Had all them kids, seven kids, pastor in a church, working every day. I remember his mom especially being in a living room in a hospital bed in Larry's house, and he and Patsy taking care of his mom. He had a lot on him, amen. His mom died, his dad died. Buried both of his parents at an early age. Just a whole lot on him. And you know, the natural things that the devil tells a preacher, you ain't doing no good just like you did Elijah. You might as well quit. Amen. He wasn't going to quit. God wasn't going to backslide, but just thought he wasn't doing no good in the church. And he like Elijah. He said, God, I've done all I can do. We ain't had a new soul come into church. We ain't had a fresh face walking in doors. I couldn't remember. It had been a long time. I think it had been way over a year. I think it had been a long time. They hadn't even had a new face come in the door. And Brother Larry said, God, a new face ain't even coming. If somebody new don't walk in that door today, this is all for me, God.
Yes, Lord. Yep.
Yes, God.
Oh, I feel the Lord.
Come on, brother.
Guess what happened? And behold, an angel touched him.
Praise God. Bless him, Lord.
Oh, Larry said, I was just a little boy. I don't quite remember it, but Larry said, they got to singing, Brother Shuffy, a song or two in the service like we did tonight, two or three songs that passed by, not a fresh face in the house, and Larry's heart had sunk, his stomach had sunk, and he said, this is my last service. I told God, if a fresh face didn't walk in that door, I'm done. That was my way to know I'm out of the will of God. That fresh face ain't walked in that door. About that time, the door swung open, and a man walked in the church. Oh, God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Well, naturally, he got all excited.
Bless him.
He got all excited. And got carried away worshiping, praising God, and they singing, and they thought, well, when the song's over, however it worked out, he was going to go back and shake that guy's hand. And they got to worshiping and praying. And when it got time, he said, I'm going to go shake his hand. Amen. And he said, he looked back there, and that guy gets up, and he walks back out. He stayed for a little bit of time. And that guy gets back up, and he walks out the door. And Larry said, I made a beeline to go back there. I was going to catch that guy and shake his hand to him. I was glad he was there. He said, I know the guy didn't walk out the door, but a matter of seconds in front of me. And he said, when I got out there, you have to know where the old church is. Right beside the road, there wasn't nowhere to go. Amen. He said, I looked in every direction and there wasn't a soul anywhere. Hallelujah. I tell you what it was. Behold, an angel of the Lord touching me, man. I come to tell somebody right here in this house tonight, when you've had all you can take, when you're at the wit's end, when you're on the bottom, when you're under the juniper tree, when you've had all you can take, behold, the angel of the Lord touched me.
Lord.
Holy you, Lord. Wow.
Hallelujah.
God touched him.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Holy God. Man, oh man. An angel came down and touched Elijah. Hallelujah. Amen. He came to him and he stayed with him at the time that he needed him most. Let me tell you something. When you need God most, I'll guarantee you this, he'll be there. When you need God most, he'll be there. When did Christ need God the most? In that garden of Gethsemane. When he prayed until his sweat became as great drops of blood. He was out of strength. He was out of energy. Much like a lion. He was physically all worn out. His spirit was ripped about. And he prayed, God, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Let me tell you something. Amen. Jesus knew what the will of God was. He knew that before the foundations of the world was ever laid, that he would be the lamb slain before the foundations. Jesus knew the will of God. But at a weak moment, he said, God, let this cup pass from me. But an angel in Luke 22 and 43 said, and an angel came strengthening Jesus. I said, an angel touched him. Woo! Man, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place to tell us he'll send an angel. He'll send help. Buckle your seatbelt. He ain't left you. You ain't going to be under that juniper tree by yourself. Jesus ain't going to stay in that garden of Gethsemane. Peter, James, and John fell asleep. They couldn't stay awake even an hour while the Lord prayed. But God said, I'll send an angel and I'll strengthen my son by the very hand of God, representing the presence of an almighty God.
God, amen.
Yes, God.
Touch him, Lord.
Lord.
Oh, Jesus. I'll finish it up.
Jesus.
Oh, God.
Praise God.
Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Hebrews 1 and 14. In our times of despondency, God's angel is right by our side.
Right.
Whether we recognize him or not, he is with us. Amen. As much in the desert, he is with us. Amen, Brother Chris. As much under the juniper tree as he is upon Mount Carmel. And we see God physically bringing down fire upon Mount Carmel, but we also see God under the juniper tree. Amen. And behold, an angel touched him. I come to tell us, he'll be with you in the highest of highest, and he'll be with us in the lowest moments of our life. Amen.
That's Hallelujah.
God saved Elijah. Amen. By sending an angel. Next, God saved Elijah by delivering him from his moods.
Yes, you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Hey, I'm gonna preach to you today.
Come on, bro.
Whether we like it or not.
Come on.
All of our experience. Amen. All of us experience moods. Amen. You ever felt like the old saying is? Amen. What's the I get it wrong sometimes too. Jumping over the a wall and leaping through the, running through the troops, amen.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt that way? And then in no time, great God, you feel all defeated.
Yeah. Come on.
That's moose. That's spiritual warfare.
Come on.
That's fighting the devil.
God is.
Hallelujah. Elijah, amen, used all of his energies up. Amen. Thinking about his failures. Oh God, my ministry's a failure. Oh God, I should be able to do better than this. Oh God, I preached and I preached and I preached. I want you to look at his evaluation upon his ministry. I preached and I've done everything I know how to do. God, I felt like I've done everything you told me to do. And he said, look, God, my ministry's a failure. He said, I'm the only one that's even living right in all the earth.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, that's a pretty meager, amen, way of looking at God moving in our lives.
Yeah.
He said, after all this, I'm the only one. Woo.
Yeah. Bless him, Lord.
Hey, I want to tell you something today.
Come on.
I felt the Holy Ghost back there. Did what my heart was praying and reading and thinking and studying about all this. You can't grade your own paper.
That's right.
That's right. Woo! Listen to me. You can't grade your own paper because you're way harder on you than anybody else is. Oh, Elijah said, man, I'm the only one left. Amen. There. Amen. Unable to help himself. What he thought to be the remedy was not God's plan. God, just take my life. God knew the dominating force of his moods, and he saved him from them. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Don't you worry. I pulled this train long and hard up to this point, and I'm going to pull a little while longer. Hey, there's somebody in this house today. You've been, amen, bowed down by those moods that you fight all of your life. And I command it in the name of Jesus right here on a Sunday afternoon. I rebuke those moods. I rebuke the very spirit of hell on a Sunday afternoon. God, deliver them from those moods that they can't get to victory, and they can't have happiness, and they can't have joy because of the moods of Satan. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. In the name of the Lord.
God, do something here today. Do something in this house, God. Do something in this place. Are they going to be subject to them moods? Are they going to stay in the same old place that they've been year after year after year after year because they're subject to the moods of Satan? I command it today in the name of God. Amen. Rebuke it and set it free. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
God used wisdom when he rebuked Elijah. A part of the despondency that gripped Elijah stemmed from his physical spirit being worn down, like I've already explained to you, running over 17 miles. Amen. God didn't, when he came down there and he said, he touched Elijah. I want you to notice this. He didn't rebuke him right off. We later find that he gives him a rebuke, but not right off. God's a God of wisdom,
yeah.
And God knows how to deal with problems. You and I don't always do, but God does.
Amen.
I said God does, and that's why in any given church, amen, that's why we don't have, that's why we ought not have 5-10 people in the church that's always wanting to handle things. Give it to God, and give it to the person that God has, amen, over that church. Praise God, because they're willing to be long suffering. Amen. They're willing to be patient. They're willing to say, God, I'm willing, Lord, amen, to do anything, amen, to spare a soul and to help someone that's hurting and help someone that has a need. Amen. God saved Elijah from his mood. God used wisdom, amen, in rebuking and dealing with Elijah. Hey, God, the angel let him sleep. Amen. He awakened him for a good hot meal, and then he let him sleep again. Glory to God. Woo! I want you to notice that. He let him sleep. He woke him up. He fed him. Amen. Give him some food. Put some food on his stomach, and then he let him go to sleep again.
Bless you.
Hey. There is healing and therapeutic necessities in food and sleep.
That's right. Amen.
You know why when they take prisoners of war, they'll take them and they get their sleep and keep them up for days on end? Because they know that deals with the mind, that deals with the body, that deals with the spirit, and they know how to break somebody. Amen. Oh, yes. Glory to God. Woo! But you know what God did? He fed him. And he said, go on back to sleep. Amen. Aren't you glad God knows how to deal with the problem? Aren't you glad God knows... Amen. How to deal with the problem. Yes. And God gave him food. God gave him rest. And instructed and rebuked him later. What doest thou? He later said, Elijah, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Why in the world? Sure. Hey, I often wondered this, Brother Chris, and I felt like I got the answer back over ago. Amen. I've often wondered why, you know, what a question. What a question. What are you doing here, Elijah? Hey, God. You know, it's just Jason's way of thinking. Didn't you understand Jezebel threatened to kill you? Didn't you understand that she said, if he's here tomorrow by that this time, I'm going to take his life? Don't you understand what his problem really is? Don't you understand, God?
Bless him, Lord.
But here's what I finally picked up back there earlier, Brother Drew. Here's what I finally figured out.
Have your way, Lord.
Elijah never made a move. And God didn't tell him where to go, what to do. Right? Amen. Elijah had always prayed and stayed put and stayed steadfast and prayed and prayed and said, God, what do you have me to do? And finally, he got so obnoxious to his enemies, amen, that they said, amen, there's a spy. There's somebody telling the enemy what we're about to do. And they said, it ain't a spy, it's an old man of God down there. He prays and he prays and he prays till God speaks. Amen. And Elijah don't never make a move until God tells him what to do.
Be to God.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Come on.
I want you to notice this. And when Elijah said, when Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you, Elijah, he jumped up, Brother Tommy, never prayed about it, never thought about it, never asked God what to do, and goes to running. And God finally tracks him down and he said, Elijah, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Come on.
You're supposed to be down there. Amen. You never prayed. You never asked me where to go. You never asked me what to do. You're under a juniper tree. You're asking me to take your life. You're ready to die. What are you doing, Elijah? I never told you to leave down there in Jezebel's house. Amen.
Yes.
Woo!
Oh, God.
Praise God. Yes. What are you doing here, Elijah?
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Wow, is this all right?
Yeah, yes. Amen.
Yes.
What doest thou here? Amen. God urged Elijah. Amen. What doest thou here? He directed him to the place of his will. And Elijah heard his hurried action and his lack of prayer got him in a bad place. Hey, I don't think this was simultaneously with the little session on prayer I've been doing on Thursday nights over the last several weeks, scattered out. But let me tell you something. When you don't pray, and you don't seek God, and you don't seek the face of God, and you don't seek the will of God, you get out of the will of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you don't slow down and hear and listen to the voice of God. How many times have I did it? How many times have you did it? You know,
right.
We've all been there. We've all did that.
You're right, brother.
When you just get rambunctious and you get, amen, and you just don't have time to say, God, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Right.
You're right. What are you doing here, Elijah? You ain't supposed to be here. Where's your servant that I gave you?
Thank you, Lord.
I left him. Lord, I thought Jezebel's going to kill me. I got all worked up and I got all scared and I ran for my life. God urged Elijah. God, amen. In spite of that, he asked Elijah, what are you doing here, man? What happened? The feelings of his heart gushed forth. Amen. I need to read verse 10 real quick. And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts and for the children of Israel, and have forsaken thy covenant. Amen. Thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword. And I am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He said, God, here's the evaluation of my life and the evaluation of my ministry. Thank you, Brother Anthony. He said, I'm left just me. There ain't another preacher. There ain't another man of God. There ain't another saint of God. I'm left, and I'm all by myself.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hey, when we go to talking in the despondencies of me and what I've done and go to grating on, amen, what I've done, you better leave that to God.
Right.
Yeah.
You think your life's a disaster and your life's a mess and it's upside down, leave it to God.
Yes.
Let God break that.
Be the God.
Let God deal with the dust. Amen. Let God deal with the problems in your life.
Thank you.
Amen. And then he ended up pinning himself because he had accomplished little and stood up all alone. I'm all by myself, God. I was up there on Mount Carmel and I was all by myself. I feel like God wanted to say, who brought the fire down?
Right.
Yeah.
Did you bring the fire down to Elijah?
Come on.
Yes, God.
Come on.
Oh.
Amen. Lastly, and I'm done, God's got a way of correcting statistics.
Right.
Yes, Lord.
One reason Elijah became so discouraged was that he left the work of a prophet and he started being a bookkeeper and he started keeping books and he started trying to say, well, God only was able to do this. He's only able to do this. And when you go to looking at it like that, amen, it's going to drive you into the blues.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's good.
Bless you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Elijah spent much time, added all the figures, and came up with the total. Only me. I'm the only one left.
Bless him, Lord.
Woo. Amen. Thank God. But God got a hold of the same statistics, and he added up the same numbers, and he said, Elijah, me and you got two different outcomes.
Yeah.
He said, I've come up with 7,000. I've got reserve that's never bowed the knee to Baal. I got 7,000 just chosen, virtuous men that's never even bowed the knee to Baal. They're ready to fight right now.
Praise God.
Yes, God.
Oh, man.
Thank you,
Lord, this place. I'm just about done. Don't you worry. I'm giving to you what I feel like the Lord wants me to.
Come on, brother.
Yes. A wiser preacher. Amen. He left out Elijah's spirits. Amen. Was helped tremendously by the touch of the angel, by the presence of God, by the rebuke of God. Amen. By the correcting of his statistics. Amen. Elijah left out of that place uplifted. His spirits, amen, were lifted. Amen. He was a wiser preacher, and he heeded his calling after that, and he left the keeping and the record keeping and the bookkeeping up to God.
Praise God.
Woo. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, I'm trying to find a good way to say this. You know, oftentimes we like to judge our life, and well, God, you know, like, a preacher like me, God, you know, we got to look at how many we got, and look at the church down there. Man, they got 1,000 or 2,000 in the church here or there. No, and that's God's dealings.
Praise.
That's God's dealings.
That's right.
You know, singers, well, look at me, Lord, here's all I can do. Look so and so. Look how the preacher, man, I wish I could preach like, amen. If you don't watch and you go to judging yourself against others, all it's going to do is drive you to depression and despondency.
You're right.
Just like it did Elijah.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And he said Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And when we find ourselves thinking as he did, the lessons he learned can serve us in a very, very practical way. God had a ministry for him beyond the time. When Elijah said, my ministry's over, why don't you just take my life? God had a ministry and a plan for Elijah beyond that.
Right.
Woo.
Hey,
I come to tell you today, you think it's over?
Right.
You think life's not worth living? Amen. You think, well, I'm just going to give up and quit? God's got a plan, and God's got joy, and God's got a life, and God's got a ministry, and God's got plans far beyond the juniper tree.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Oh, I feel the Holy
Ghost. Bless you, Lord.
Oh. I'm not screaming and hollering and spitting and whooping, but I feel the Holy Ghost to tell you there's life after the juniper tree.
That's right.
There's joy after
thank
the juniper
you,
tree.
Lord.
Yes, God. Hallelujah. Holy Lord.
My. I'm done here today. Stay with me in this house.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
God has things in your future.
Thank you, mighty God.
That will far surpass even your expectations.
Right.
What if Ahab and Jezebel
Hallelujah.
Do rage? What if the enemies raise their heels and come after you? What if you're tired in the struggle and disillusioned in the ideas and disappointed with your fellow humans? And what if the demons of discouragement are all around? What if all this? I tell you what if. And behold, the angel of the Lord.
That's right.
Bless your life.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Elijah's God still lives.
Thank you, Lord.
The enemy said, we've got him right where we need him. He's ready to die. He's ready just to give up. But I come to tell you, there's ministry. Hey, preacher, you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot more God's got in store for you. There's a lot more God wants you to do. There's a lot more things. Amen. There's a future ahead past the juniper tree. Bow your head with me, pray today, Lord.
Yes,
God. God, I fought the hordes of hell in this service today.
Thank you,
Lord. Oh, no, I have to fight like this, Lord. That service in, service out. Service in, service out. God, I have fought the hordes of hell today. God, I pray that you'd help us sow in this house. God, I come with one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to preach and try to help somebody in this place, Lord. Those that you place under my care, it's my job, Lord, to preach to them and try to help them in a despondency, a despair. Under the juniper tree, Lord. That's what I feel like, Lord. I feel like you just said to tell him. He sees you under that juniper tree. Oh, God, would you touch our heart, Lord? Meet us in these altars here in just a moment, God. I'm just a meager vessel. God, would you touch somebody, change a heart, change a life? Let somebody walk out of this place today and say, Lord, I met God even though I was under that juniper tree. Behold, the Lord touched me. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm not singling out one or two or three. I'll tell you what we ought to do. We ought to fill these altars. Because God, amen, has spoken to us today. God has spoken to us. Come on, come on, come on. You tired of that juniper tree? You tired of the despondency of despair? You tired of listening to the devil saying your life ain't no good and you ain't got nothing? And you might as well just give up. You might as well quit. It's all
just a wash.
No. No, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? I never told you.
I ain't never left you.
Yes.
God.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Send that victory today for my.